The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA. Well, it is that time again, Mr. Bill.
Howdy, hey, ho. Guess who's in the house?
Real Racing USA Live with Bill Green. Jack Smith.
Something like that. Sound like you got a reverb on or something.
Oh, by the way, you know what that is? That's our software we're using with this particular setup. Nobody else hears that except us.
Oh, wow, because it sounds like I'm...
Yeah, it really does. It has depth, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of like sounds like the guy at the Himalaya. Faster, faster.
Yeah, Real Racing USA Live tonight.
Hey, we got all kinds of stuff happening around the state. All kinds of good stuff to talk about, but sometimes I don't think we'll get into the meat of it because you just sometimes upset way too
many. One of the most popular drivers this year in the Hooters Pro Cup, Bill, was this young man, Ben Stansel.
Ben Stansel.
Yeah.
He's got an awesome crew chief.
Yeah.
Buggy Pletcher, my buddy Dave Pletcher's son, Buggy, is the crew chief for the, I guess it's a Warrington Motorsports picked him up. And so he's going to go from Pro Cup to Busch East, Ben Stansel. And we're going to talk to Stansel.
Yeah.
See what he thinks of that move. And
they're up there hard at work in the race garage over in Mooresville.
It sounds like under these circumstances, Ben is getting a more traditionally thought process of getting towards NASCAR, let's say, because he's run locally, he's run late models and stuff, he's moved into Pro Cup, he's now going to get a chance to go Busch East Racing if he can do good there and the team and the whole ball of wax works out well, then maybe he'll get that opportunity to step into a Busch ride for real or a truck ride and prove himself before he gets to NASCAR.
Yeah, you know, he's created quite a stir in the Pro Cup, too. He just missed getting the Rookie of the Year title. He had some ignition problems at South Boston Speedway in the late stages of the season here in the last race. And otherwise, he was on his way to being Rookie of the Year. I actually thought he was until I had got somebody corrected me on that today. Of course, Buggy Pletcher is crew chief. Hopefully, we'll be able to talk to both of them. I'm not sure if we will, but we're going to give it a try. We're going to talk to Christy Hudson, who is the promoter extraordinaire out in Arkansas. She runs the Dirt Series out there, the Dirt Late Model Series in AM.
Yeah, it happens to be last time I was here as a co-host, so to speak.
Yep.
We talked to one of the young gentlemen. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but you probably do. He was out of that AM... Arkansas Motorsports Professionals.
That's correct.
And that's a conglomerate that kind of covers all kinds of racing, which is a very good way to go. Because then you can have your Arkansas Motorsports Professionals rule book that everybody would use.
We're going to talk to Steve Johnson from Garage Art as well. Steve's got a unique business. He makes motorsports type stuff. That's really cool to put in your garage.
Does he make it out of anything in particular?
Well, you can check it out at garageart.com.
Oh, okay.
But it is. It's pretty cool. And he makes his stuff that's motorsports-oriented stuff for your garage, family room and stuff. It's some pretty cool paraphernalia. And we'll be talking with Stevie LaTemp, the voice of the All-Harley Drag Racing Series, and a couple of the hot shots in that series. Don Norland will be with us later. And Randy Borjo. And Stevie will fill us in on all of that. I will tell you, Wednesday night, Bill, we have two new shows coming this week on Real Racing USA.
I don't know how you do it. I don't know when you're sleeping. I can't tell.
Well, remember, we started on this mission. I mean, you're just on a little hiatus here. You ain't go. You see, I don't let you go far.
I understand. You can roll me back in.
But, the Hooters Pro Cup. The Pro Cup Report. And this week it's sponsored by The Brakeman. And there's a title sponsor almost ready to be announced. We're not quite ready to announce
it yet. Is that my buddy Skip coming back?
No, this is Terry Wall. Well, Terry Wall and Skip Wall, the Wall boys, are going to do the Pro Cup Report.
Oh, that's what I thought. That'd be cool.
Yeah, and then Sunday night, at last, finally, after 2 months of waiting, and anxiety, Terry Wall is going to premiere on Sunday night at 7 o'clock Eastern, the NASCAR Fast Talk show.
Oh, buddy.
For all the pissed off NASCAR fans on Sunday night, yeah, it's come to Terry Wall's Fast Talk show. And
oh, can you imagine a bunch of drunk rednecks getting on the phone talking to Terry about what just pissed them off?
Yeah, and the way NASCAR he race. Can do this, he can have up to four people or five people on the line at one time. So,
oh, the arguments will be great.
Oh, yeah, we got some new technology
that'll be it.
Throw out here. But you see that garage art deal?
That's it's cool. He's got all kinds of the old metal signs that he's picked up, and he's got some new stuff, old stuff, and so forth. That's pretty neat. You need to go check it out and hit through some of the digital thing. I don't know. Some of these kind of catch my attention. Busted Knuckles. I guess that's a Busted Knuckle Garage Chalkboard. So I guess that's a... okay. So it's got fancy stuff at the top.
Now, Bill, here's the deal. Before we get to Ben Stancil and something else, if there's some stuff, any other major news that you want to bring up, feel free to interject at any time. But you got a new gig.
Oh, yeah. Great.
You've had a new gig for a few months here.
Well, it seems like it's been a few months to me, but I'm sure everybody out there thinks I've just done it for a couple of weeks now. But the Pro Sprint Car Series you're talking about.
Oh, no. That's a whole nother thing.
Thank you so much. I thought you were going to drag me down that dirty road.
We're not going to let that hamster out of the cage yet. We're talking about you are the motorsports writer for the Tampa Tribune. Now, this is like no slouch deal.
That's old news, though.
Well, no, that's not old news to a lot of people. Yeah. That is, I mean, Tampa, Florida newspaper.
25th market in the country.
25th largest newspaper market. It's one of the top 10 media markets in the country.
And the St. Petersburg Times, of course, gets a lot of awards for some of the things they do.
Especially just, their controversial things that they do.
And that's just, but that's just the size of the market. And we've got a lot of folks listening and paying attention. The combination of Tampa Tribune, News Channel 8, and TBO.com, Tampa Bay Online, which I'm sure this has made my buddy Rich kind of upset because I'm working for him.
He's got online
Tampa Bay, and I've been working with him for years, so I hope he isn't really mad at me, but it was a great gig, and I couldn't pass it up. So anyway, I'm doing the local motorsports, just going
for
out.
Florida?
Once. Yeah.
For the state of?
Anything in the Tampa Bay area. I can cover four basic tracks, East Bay, DeSoto, Citrus, and Auburndale. And then I can cover USA, of course. And also, we get to cover anybody, any physical person that lives in that area, so to speak, and races in a traveling series, if they're doing well and so forth, or come in the neighborhood. Like, I drove up to New Smyrna and watched the Goodyear Challenge Series and did last week's article on Joe Winchell, because Joe Winchell had recently moved from Davie, Florida, where I couldn't have really written about
into
Dade City.
Right, he moved.
So that's close enough. That's pretty cool. And it kind of was pretty neat because he had talked about to me on the phone, and I got a chance to write about how he'd had the opportunity to go NASCAR racing very early in his career in reality. They had gotten a two-car team together. He was the number two fiddle on the race and driving scene, but he was willing to be number two, at least to go NASCAR racing. And they were ready to go. First of the season was coming up, and somebody who had been in the season the year before that, in 87, I guess, because it was 88 we're talking about, didn't get funded and so forth for 88, lost their sponsorship. And so NASCAR themselves at the time, Big Bill France, called and talked to the car owner and the people who were doing the sponsorship and pulled some strings and got that driver into the car in place of Joe Winchell. So Joe was bumped out, and he had already given up his job, gotten ready to go, blah, blah, blah. And there he was with nothing. So he had to kind of start over. He went and drove for some other guys a little bit. He actually won one of the big memorial races that year for the 18-year-old kid that was killed up in New Smyrna years ago. God, I wish I could remember right off the top of my head. But anyway, it was just a great story, and nobody knew that about Joe in reality.
I never knew that. Forgotten. Yeah.
So Joe Winchell, had the opportunity to go NASCAR racing.
So now, I'm not going to
back to Tampa Tribune.
I'm not going to sneeze.
Sure, sneeze. Get it over with. It's your microphone.
Yeah, buddy. In the Tampa area.
There you go.
I know it's good. You have East Bay Raceway Park, okay? You got the big Winter Nationals. I told you I was going to sneeze. Yeah, there you go. So you got the big national audience in the Winter National deal. That's like 19 days of insane racing there you'll be able to cover. Yep. And then you got the best late model.
24, I think,
is
next year.
Okay, you got the best sprint car, dirt sprint car drivers, the best late model dirt racers, the best modified racers will all be at East Bay. You're going to have your hands full. Yeah. Are they going to let you cover the PRI show?
I would hope so. And we'll see. I'll ask for those kind
of
things.
Which is in Orlando.
Yeah. I can't ask for credentials to get into NASCAR races yet because they've got a NASCAR guy covering it.
Yeah.
Tony Fabrizio is doing a great job there. But I can get some of the fringe benefits along the way maybe to get in some of those bigger things and maybe get a chance to do some behind-the-scenes digging and see what's going on.
That's cool. And there's a lot of...
The article comes out every Thursday morning, and usually it is online at tbo.com. Wednesday night late after about 10 o'clock or so.
Yeah, they seem to put that stuff up pretty quickly.
Yeah. And the thing is, the one online, they'll use the picture just for a marker, but when you go to the article, it disappears. You're seeing something else. But in the paper, they've been doing some really good picture stuff for me.
That's cool.
In fact, I sent them a regular 400-word article about the TBRA fire crew. And they called me and said, listen, we're going to hold this for next week. We want it to be a full-page article kind of thing, special.
On what article. Now? On what?
On the TBRA fire crew.
Oh, yeah.
And they did an entire full-page kind of thing.
Right.
And they used three or four pictures and lots of information. I had to write almost 1,000 words, I think it was, or 800 and something.
Yeah.
And so they did. That was my first full-page article. My second big kick in this deal was, if anybody noticed it go by, I did an article on Sean Bass and his ASA racing.
Right.
And his move up through fast trucks and all that stuff. Well, they used that on the inside front cover of the sports section that week. I was on page 2. And you don't usually get in front of the football and baseball guys.
Yeah.
So that was pretty neat.
And this comes out every Thursday now.
Every Thursday in the Tampa Tribune.
Yeah. But you can also get it by TBO.com.
TBO.com and look for sports, click on that, click on auto racing, and then usually it's lined up in the headline right there on Thursday during the day. It's usually the headliner. But yeah, no, it's been pretty cool. It's a nice gig, and it's not real time consuming in the sense that I probably spend 6 or 8 hours doing it over the weekend and stuff. But
that's cool. Let's sell some wares and then come back and talk to Ben Stansel and maybe Buggy Fletcher.
Get a chance to talk to my good buddy David Pletcher Jr. Right. They hate that part.
Right.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
It's that time again when Florida's best super late model racers tackle the high banks of Lakers USA International Speedway in the Michael Holly Chevrolet 200, presented by Catch 47. It's the third and final race of the Guaranteed Concrete Quarter Triple Crown, and with all your favorites expected, the action will be intense. The Catch 47 presents the Michael Holly Chevrolet 200, Saturday night, September 1st. For more information, check online at usaspeedway.com. Tickets are on sale now. Call USA International Speedway at 1-800-984-7223. USA International Speedway. And you thought your weekends go fast.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Every year you assemble your closest friends to prepare for another season in the knockdown, drag-out world of make-believe football.
Fourth and inches.
You were born with the one skill every manager needs to play fantasy football. Absolutely no skill playing real football.
Not so good at catching.
Imaginary catches. Imaginary touchdowns. Next up, an imaginary score with an imaginary woman.
Good imagination.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, O Swami of the sidelines. You may come in dead last, but you're always first with us.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Port City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners, drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com.
All right, we're back and checking out the Worthington Motorsports folks signing Ben Stansel. If you go to the go to the Carnac.com pages and check out the write-up that Jeff Goddard did out of Worthington Motorsports. Talking about Stansel out of Aiden, North Carolina, going to be working with the Delaware-based Worthington Motorsports for the remaining portion of the 2007 NASCAR Busch East Series. He's going to be driving a number 91 Chevy Monte Carlo. So BSW Construction here in Creek, Wayne Hudson, going to be a going to be an awesome deal to see these guys get in action, and we'll get the opportunity. I guess I will, because I'm always a big. That's not a good sound. I'm always, Jack's doing his best over here. I'm always a real big Pletcher fan. Everybody knows that. I've been Big Daddy Dave Pletcher's number one fan for years, and kind of seeing him get ready for the. He hates it probably if I say he's kind of thinking about retirement, but I know that he's considered the issue a few times. It's getting real expensive to do this racing thing, and getting good equipment is not cheap. Anyway, his son, David, had gone on to become a motorsports crew chief and had done some racing of his own, and we're hoping to get a chance to talk to David.
Well, actually, we've changed gears, and we're in third gear instead of first gear, and we have Christy Hudson from the AMP.
Oh, the
Dirt
AMP.
Late Model Series.
All right, I'll change pages.
And we'll come back and talk to Ben in a little bit.
This just in, AMP Motorsports comes through Carnac.com.
All welcome right. to Real Racing USA Live, Christy.
Thank you.
Your return engagement.
I'm having some difficulty understanding. It's like y'all got some bad static on the line.
Okay.
Oh, well, that's just probably me talking wrong. Is that better?
How are we doing now?
It's a little better.
Okay, good.
Okay, we'll yell, because you're all the way out in Arkansas.
That's where the coverage is coming from, I'm sure.
Hey, listen, the AMP, now this concept really needs to take off in every state, but tell us a little bit about what that organization does as a core to help the racers.
This is a different thing. This is not what you think it is.
Bro. Oh, okay. I thought it was.
Tell us about your series, Christy.
AMP was formed and put together for the racers in the state of Arkansas to be able to run for a purse that's structured for them to be able to come out and race, but it's also structured for a promoter to be able to afford to let them race.
Okay, well, that's what I was asking, what you're doing for the racers. Okay. Anyway, well, that's pretty cool. How did this all come about? How did you guys form the AMP, so to speak, for these late model racers?
I grew up as a daughter of a father that we had late models for years, and early part of last year I started writing a book, and there's so many of my friends here in the state that have late models that were having to be on the road traveling, going out of state to race in order to get races, because late model races in here in Arkansas had about pretty much died. We had the Super Series that come in here and once or twice a year, but other than that, we didn't get to see late models race. So we wanted to, there's a lot of fan base for late model racing here, and we wanted to be able to put the late models back on the tracks in the state of Arkansas at a cost for the promoters to be able to afford, and at the same token, give them something enough to where they can run and feel settled at home, feel comfortable with racing for.
Well, can you talk to us about the nuts and bolts of it? I mean, are you getting an XYZ amount of money for showing up, or XYZ amount of money per car that shows up, or what's the deal?
Well, our races are based on a 20-car field. It's $1,500 to win, $200 to start on the main feature event. That pretty much gives all of them something to come out and run for without having to spend $500 or $600 traveling over the state line to find a race.
Now, how much was it to start? I missed that.
$200.
Okay. So 15 to win, 200, and that's based on 20 cars. So, unfortunately, if you only get 18 show up, does that suddenly kind of back up a little bit? Is there a scale model, so to speak, here that it slides and moves? I just want everybody to understand what you're doing, that's all.
Well, what I do is with this series is I go to the track promoters and I have them to pay the positions that are here. I don't charge them a flat fee before I ever walk through the gate and expect them to hand me a check for $15,000,
$16,000. Oh, okay.
I just ask them to pay the positions that are there. We've had, you know, and we don't cut it off at 20 cars. Most times, you know, if we go into a track and we have more than 20, you know, I will pull the track promoter aside. Me and the track promoter will talk, and between both of us, and we'll both pay out something to put the other cars in the field as long as there's not too many on the track.
Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty cool. I know there's some tracks, big tracks, could probably handle up to 30-something cars, and other tracks are so small, you're 24, and you're pushing limits. So
right.
That's pretty cool. But basically, just so everybody out there in radio land understands, if 18 cars show up, that means that the promoter doesn't have to pay $200 to 19th and 20th, so he saves $400 anyway.
He pays $200 from 16th to 20th position. But if more than 20 cars go into the field, I will pay 100 of it. They will pay 100. We split the difference on anything over 20.
Okay. All right. Well, that's cool. Oh, that's very good. Then the guys are guaranteed the money when they show up, at least, and that's pretty neat. Now, what kind of situation with the rules? What kind of motor package and chassis and so forth are these guys limited to?
Oh, my gosh. I knew you was going to get to the motor part.
Well, that's what everybody wants to know. What kind of motor? Because that's the biggest expense, usually.
We run the full-blown series here. We have it with a crate. The crate cars can join in and run with us. Open motors run with us. All steel motors run with us. The difference is in the weight and the spoiler rules.
Okay, so weight and spoiler controls any combination of packages, whatever you got.
Right.
Well, interesting concept. Wonder if that'll work here.
It should work anywhere.
Oh, no. Everybody. And do you find that the local guys, when you go into a track, actually do join in this instance because they can, you know, fit into your rules for that night, and then they stay there and race regular late models at that track later on?
No, because there's not any late model racing per se in the state of Arkansas. The only thing that comes in here, the only series that comes in here is a Super Series, Super O'Reilly Series, and we've ran with them at I-30 Speedway, Little Rock, Arkansas. They've come in and we've combined our cars with their cars and run. We just come home this past weekend from West Salem Springs Speedway in Oklahoma, and we allowed the Show Me Series guys to run with us. So it's a combination of pulling cars to fill in the field of our cars, which we have probably 13, 14 travelers with the first year series. And, you know, we pick up others outside the perimeters to fill in the field. And they all, you know, we all run together, and they're all very compatible.
Oh, that's cool. So if you move, let's say, 600 miles to the east, there's some guys that are even further east of that that will come join you because they want to run with you and stuff, and that gives them an opportunity to race too. So that's pretty cool that you get the opportunity to travel and draw from the local, you know, racers that maybe they only race a couple times a year when you come by or something, but that gives them an opportunity to go racing. Did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
How's it? Last time we talked to you, it was, of course, a little bit earlier in the year. How's it gone since then? I mean, how's the year progressed? Has it done as well as you'd expect?
Yeah, actually, we have done really well this season. When we first started off this year, you know, the car count was down a little bit, and I guess it was just our first time getting the late models kicking here in Arkansas again. You know, we and rain in the area, so our first two shows, you know, was 12 or 13 cars, and we've picked up as much as 25 cars now. And you know, we're getting phone calls from people that are here that are running modifieds in this state that are actually buying late models to run with us for the next season. Things are looking really good for us. We've made a lot of races this year. All of our drivers, we haven't really had any problems, so to speak, and everything. The teams get along great. The promoters are liking it. You know, they're getting the fans to come out and watch. It's just turning out really good for everybody.
Has most of the promoters, you know, admitted that the fans, so to speak, do increase on the nights you're showing up?
I have had every promoter that we've been to and that we've raced with have let us know that the increase has been phenomenal.
Awesome. Now, that's what you need, because then you'll get to the end of this year and you'll have promoters calling you and asking for dates.
I'm getting that now.
Yeah, that's what I figured. So that's the cool part of it. And that's very good that you've managed to make it work that well and keep it within a budget to where the guys can afford to go racing and they still get something paid to them and you can afford to do it, because I know sometimes that's tricky too.
Yes,
altogether. Let's talk a little bit about tire rules. Do you have to travel with a tire truck and so forth, or how you do that?
We have the American Racer. Day Motorsports, first of all, is our title sponsor, and they put us on an MD56 spec tire for our series, which we have been very pleased with.
Yeah, that's,
the
sounds
American
good.
Racer tire. We had had some people, you know, that wasn't really wanting to try it out, but once a couple of the guys got on this tire, it's just boomed. But we allow five Hoosier tires to compete against our one tire.
Nice.
You know, if they come in with a Hoosier tire, I mean, we have certain Hoosier tires that they have to have stamped, and it's $10 a stamp to stamp those tires. We felt that it would be cheaper for them to be able to stamp the tires than forcing them to buy an $800 set of tires to run one night.
Well, I understand, and that's great. That's an awesome way to be able to do things and keep it simple, because that's number two on my list of things to worry about. Number three would be, are they running on regular leaded, unleaded, or race fuel, or are they running alcohol?
They're running on race fuel.
Okay, so that's kind of every track has that, so you don't have to tote that around with you, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Any other things that how big is the crew gotten, I guess, that makes this happen? Have you had to, besides having a race director, tech guy, and so forth, I mean, what kind of situation you got with employees or officials, so to speak?
There is about seven of us, really, that make this thing work.
Well, that'll keep a few people busy for sure. I mean, and it does take at least that kind of many of people to have a good traveling series that's on the ball and keeping up with each other, because you got guys in the pits doing one thing, taking care of business, and somebody else is signing people in, and somebody else is scoring and trying to get the payout ready and all that kind of stuff. So there are lots of things to be done behind the scenes besides just racing on the track.
You know, Bill, there ain't nothing better than dirt late models.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what they tell me.
We love it.
I have to pull for the asphalt sprints right now.
See, Bill's a sprint guy.
Yeah, I tried taking on an insurmountable task, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to overcome it or not. But putting together a little asphalt limited sprint deal down here in Florida, it's not been an easy chore. I know that. But this sounds like a really cool deal. Now AMP, I think you should expand. I think it should be Arkansas Motorsports Professionals, and you have a late model division, you got an open wheel modified division, you have sprint divisions, and you all fall under one umbrella with one giant rule book that takes care of everybody, and everybody in the state uses it.
Christy, tell them you already have headaches enough.
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand you. The phone's staticky again.
Yeah. I know.
Okay. Now she's just learned to deal with me, huh?
Yeah. No, I was just saying, you have enough headaches as it is, probably, but you're having fun, right?
I'm sorry. It's a bad connection.
Oh, is it him or me?
It's worse with him.
Okay. Well, here, take this.
Hey, Chris.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so the thing's been going along. What we'd like to do is get with you, and we'll get to you here in the next couple of days and line up some more of the drivers. We'd love talking to the guys that race out there in that Dirt Late Models series because, for my money, Dirt Late Models, if there was no other short track racing, if it was just Dirt Late Models, I'd be happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I like them all, actually. I love the sprint cars. I like it all.
There you go. Good girl.
I'm a past street stock driver myself.
Are you?
Yes.
How long did you drive?
I drove for 2.5 years, and I have a heart condition, and my doctor took me out.
Oh.
So.
Dang old doctors.
I gave my heart to these guys.
He doesn't realize how much it was adding to your life of having all that fun?
Exactly. He did tell my husband to put me back in the car, but by that time my husband decided no.
Okay. Well, I know that this is somewhat fulfilling to be able to go into a place and put on a show where the guys that you feel are your racers come along and do it for you, and they have so much fun that they love to come back and do it again. So it's an awesome, awesome situation, a win-win on your part, the track's part, and the racers. So hopefully it'll keep getting bigger and better. And you may outgrow six people or something. You may have to expand into a southern and northern division in Arkansas.
We're going to have to move around a little bit because, we don't have that many tracks in the state of Arkansas. And there's still probably, 12 that's operational. But it's not quite enough to keep them going all season long. And if they can get 12 or 14 races, these guys are happy with it. We're coming up on our final points night on September the 15th at Central Arkansas Speedway, and that'll be our 14th night of racing for this year. And, hopefully we can branch a little further next year and not too far away from home, but, try to fill a schedule so we can get enough racing for the season.
How many different tracks, did you visit this year?
We have been to 7 different tracks this year.
So 7 different tracks. You went at least twice, I guess, 14 races?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So if you do that 3 times next year to each of those tracks even, you've got 21 races. And trust me, that's more than enough for a good season and a good points chase and so forth.
Yes,
that's perfect. And if you expand it by 1 or 2 tracks and just have 1 or 2 shows here, and 1 show way off at that one over there, it'll work out perfect. And you'll have it golden. Let me tell you, it's going to work out great.
Yeah. Well, we've had a good time. We went into Salem Springs we raced a few weeks ago, and I can't remember. We had Kyle Beard and John Mitchell, which were just a few points away from each other, and they were really battling for the lead. That's the closest that they've been in points all year. And, Kyle, he won this weekend, but he hasn't caught John yet because John won 3 weeks in a row, and it's been a really good chase. The rookies have been, we got Joe Long and Kyle Beard that was battling for rookie. And it, that separated this weekend. But, it's been really good. I couldn't have asked for a better season. I honestly couldn't, and I couldn't have asked for a better group of guys.
Now, how young do the guys get? Are you got some real youngsters racing?
We have some that's real young. We've got one that is 13 years old out of Broken Bow, Oklahoma. His name is Gary Scott Christen. We have one that's 12 years old that has raced with us once, but he's planning on running for rookie next year. And his name is Baron Herndon, and he is out of Clearmore, Texas.
Wow.
So, we got Clay Fisher, 17 years old, still in high school.
What's the other end of the spectrum? Who's your veteran, so to speak?
Mike McNay, which he's been on the series, Larry Potter, and... Bill Fry has ran with us once at Little Rock when we ran with the Super Series.
Now, Potter, I think I've heard of Potter before.
Larry Potter, he's king of the gumbo, so everybody calls him in Arkansas.
There you go. I think that's why I heard of him. But that's pretty cool. It sounds like a great diversity and awesome that you're getting youngsters involved because, I mean, there's not that many late models in Arkansas with the situation that's been going on for a while. So maybe it'll start to build back up and you'll get some new cars out there. And even if they only run 6 or 8 shows a year, you'll still have that 24, 26 car count every time.
Right. Well, that's what we're hoping for. Right now, everything's going pretty good. And, you know, all of the companies that has got behind us and the track promoters, that's it. If we couldn't do it without the promoters, if the promoters didn't let us come and do this, then we'd be in trouble.
Well, I'll tell you what, we appreciate you stopping by and talking to us again. Well, hopefully in the end of the year here, we'll definitely keep an eye out for your schedule and what's going on and make sure we keep folks up to date. But there's a lot of folks down here with dirt late models that'd love to be able to travel just a little bit and not have to go all the way into, you know, Tennessee or something from Florida to go late model racing for $1,500 to win, $200 to start. Not bad.
We've got a few of our guys that we're planning on heading down there to, I guess it's East Bay.
East Bay Raceway Park, Winter Nationals.
Yeah, Kyle Beard, you know, they're kind of pumped up about coming down there, and I think Billy Moore Jr. You know, they had discussed the options of doing so. So, you know, hopefully y'all will get to see us sometime soon.
Well, we'll have you live then.
Christy, you know what a tide chart is?
No, sir.
Well, that's when the Gulf of Mexico comes close to East Bay Raceway Park during high tide.
Uh-huh.
And you want to teach your guys to learn to look at that chart and know when the tide's coming in highest, because about 15 minutes after high tide time, you're going to be able to run the bottom of East Bay faster than you run the top, because the water comes up through the ground.
East Bay is right on Tampa Bay.
That is East Bay 101 training right there.
Well, our guys are listening.
Well, good for them. Good for them.
So you can give them a little plug there. They are listening.
All right. Well, you say hi to them.
Cool.
Hey, guys, she's doing her job for you. I'll tell you that. You call her up later and tell her thank you, and then tell her you want to be on Karnak.com.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Real Racing USA.
Bill, once again, I got to tell you, the reason that Christy, this all started, we didn't go out chasing, trying to track her down or run across. We didn't go to Arkansas or something. Christy called us or contacted us by email, Real Racing USA, and wanted to know how she could get some promotion out for her drivers. She's doing her job, man, and more promoters need to do that.
Yeah, and Christy, let's tell a lot of other promoters out there, how hard was it to get some free publicity across the United States?
All I had to do was make one email to them, and I was contacted that day. And a lot of promoters, I mean, I just can't even tell you how much these drivers feel that they need it.
Well, I tell you what, our crack staff of 22 people in this office are keeping going 24 hours a day, and we take care of people like you, and we appreciate you listening to us.
I sure appreciate it, and I know that our teams appreciate it. You've had some of our guys on, and all of our guys want to be on, and I'm going to do everything I can to get them out there.
All right, we'll look forward to it. Make sure they talk to us, track us down, and we will be more than happy to mention them in the Tampa Tribune. In fact, well, we get a chance to do a story. Hey, mate, give me a cup of coffee. We're going to break here.
Christy, we will talk to you again real soon, and can't wait to have some more of your drivers on.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Buggy Pletcher, call the station, please.
All right, Bill, there we go. AMP. AMP.
What happened? I thought you were going to break.
Oh, we are. AMP.
Arkansas Motorsports Professionals.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And
they're
now
in town tonight. Last race coming up for their points championship. And it's a tight race up front.
For quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Every year you assemble your closest friends to prepare for another season in the knockdown, drag-out world of make-believe football.
Fourth and inches.
You were born with the one skill every manager needs to play fantasy football. Absolutely no skill playing real football.
Not so good at catching.
Imaginary catches. Imaginary touchdowns. Next up, an imaginary score with an imaginary woman.
Good imagination.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, O Swami of the sidelines. You may come in dead last, but you're always first with us.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's that time again when the world's best super late model racers tackle the high banks of Ledyard USA International Speedway in the Ledyard Holly Chevrolet 200, presented by Catch 47. It's the third and final race of the Guaranteed Concrete Quarter Triple Crown, and with all your favorites expected, the action will be intense. The Catch 47 presents the Michael Holly Chevrolet 200, Saturday night, September 1st. For more information, check online at usaspeedway.com. Tickets are on sale now. Call USA International Speedway at 1-800-984-7223. USA International Speedway. And you thought your weekends go fast.
Yeah, we love it. Hey, Bill, we're back. Real Racing USA live on Tuesday night. Really? Yeah, you're fine. Oh, no, I had to.
Thank you very much.
There you go. Yeah, yeah, you're good.
I may be a long time since I did this, but I can tell when I'm not turned on.
And, Bill, okay, we finally managed to hook up with Ben Stansel.
Ben Stansel, 18 years old, coming out of the Pro Cup ranks, going to the Busch East ranks. I'm not sure, Warrington Motorsports out of Delaware, I guess they've got a plan here in base about getting him some experience. And they brought along a well-known young crew chief, so to speak, especially down in this part, Dave Pletcher. We call him Buggy Pletcher down here, of course. But, Ben, how's it been going, man? And welcome to the show.
It's been going pretty good, man. I'm actually on the way home from the shop, man. I actually had to go pick up my Busch East car and bring it back down to Mooresville. But going pretty good and working hard, as always.
Now, how much time has you had in the Busch East car at all yet?
This past weekend was actually my first race for Warrington Motorsports, and I think we didn't do too bad, considering that when they went to set the car up at in Delaware, that the scales kind of went bad on them. So me and Buggy pretty much had to set the car up at the track in about 2 hours. So we qualified 12th out of, I think, 31 cars or something. So we got her dialed in.
Now, I know Buggy's pretty good. I mean, he may have his way of doing things are a little unorthodox sometimes, but he does get it done. And I know that you really, in the long run, you'll find you've hooked up with a pretty good guy there. What's it been like, though, to go from where you were to where Worthington Motorsports wants you to be? What's that step been like? How did they contact you? What kind of things transpired?
It was actually, I don't know how you say it, I guess, faith, but one of the guys that I used to race go-karts against, Butch Warrington, actually contacted him, and it turned out he couldn't do it, but he said, hey, look, I know this guy that runs Hooters Pro Cup, so he gave my number, and Butch called me up one day and said, hey, this is Ben Stansel, and would you like to drive my car? And I was like, yeah, man, absolutely.
Well, now, this once again goes to prove that it's not how much you know, it's who you know in racing circles that sometimes make that certain connection that makes it happen for you. Hey, listen, that's awesome, man, that a guy would give you that kind of accolades, especially somebody that I guess would be your competitor in a way, and looking for his own little opportunity to get a ride. Now, what kind of things are they expecting as Worthington Motorsports set you down and said, okay, here's what we want to do through the end of the year. If you can do X, Y, Z, we're going to give you A, B, C, or what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, my dad is still, I mean, my dad's helping out a little bit, but it's not as much as we are with the Hooters Pro Cup right now. But what's going on is I'm running New Hampshire for sure for Warrington Motorsports, and we're not quite sure about Dover, because that conflict with Iowa with the Hooters Pro Cup Series. So, and I've run the Hooters Pro Cup Series all year, and I feel like we have a pretty good chance at Rookie of the Year or even top five in the points or championship with that. And so, obviously, Hooters is the first priority for the rest of this year, but so far, Warrington wants to do something for next year to maybe run a full schedule in the Busch East Series.
Well, that would be too bad. Now, Busch East compared to Hooters Pro Cup, I know they're running a lot different tracks and stuff. Give folks out there that may not know the nuts and bolts of Hooters Pro Cup and or Busch East some of the differences between the two and some of the places they go.
Well, the biggest difference between the Busch East and the Hooters Pro Cup is the Busch East is affiliated with NASCAR. There's not a tremendous amount of difference between the cars. The Busch East runs different kind of tire than the Hooters Pro Cup. The Busch East runs a spec motor, where in Hooters Pro Cup you can build your motors. There's a few differences, but for all in all, the cars are pretty much, I mean, they're very, very much similar.
Now, do the Busch East guys get out on bigger tracks or anything that kind of gets you prepared for some of those big tracks that come up later in the NASCAR situation? Or are they pretty much running the same size tracks as Hooter run, just different ones?
Well, the Busch East, they actually run on, I think, 2 mile tracks. And they run on, I think next year they're scheduling for 2 road courses. So that definitely gets you more prepared to run the Busch East or anything like that.
A road course. Now, that's got to be a big change if you've never done it.
Oh, absolutely, man. I've never actually raced on a road course, but I'm sure you're familiar with the Skip Barber Sebring.
Oh yeah.
Experience. Yeah, I actually went down and did that a couple years back. So I have been on a road course before. I just haven't raced on a road course.
I've been around Road Atlanta once, and I can tell you what, I don't want to be throwing no 3,800 pound car around trying to do that, for sure.
Yeah.
But that's awesome. That's an awesome opportunity and so forth, and hopefully it'll kind of build into something bigger and better. And I was mentioning earlier when we were talking about the first part of the show here about you coming on, that you have done what people would probably look at and say is the
traditional.
Traditional approach to getting to NASCAR. You've gone through local late model racing. You stepped into Hooters Pro Cup. You're getting into the Busch East program, which will hopefully, you know, you'll do well enough there. They'll give you a chance in either a truck or a Busch car. Whereas some people, they race local late model racing and something happens, or they know somebody, and boom, they get the opportunity to go race a couple, 3 races in Busch. And if they do well, then they get an invite back. But yours has been more traditional, and it seems like you've gotten probably more seat time and you got a little bit more maturity at 18 than some of those guys do at 25, 27.
Absolutely, man. I feel like that every time you get in the car, you learn something new. And those guys are talking about, they run the late models and then step up in the Busch. You can tell the guys that do that, because you can look at them and you can tell where they're lacking experience, and they just don't have as much seat time as some of the other veteran drivers out there. And see, with me this year and past years, I actually run as much as I can. I try to race every weekend somewhere in something, and that way I can get as much seat time as possible.
So when you were running in the Hooters Pro Cup, now you were running against people like Gary St. Amon and Benny Gordon and some pretty good talent. How tough was it?
It's really tough with running against those guys that's been racing for 10, 12 years in the Hooters Pro Cup Series. And, I mean, me and Buggy, we just teamed up this year, and I'm a rookie driver, and he's used to been racing, so I mean he has some experience with crew chief, and he is obviously a really smart man with the car, but we definitely didn't do too bad considering the budget we're on compared to the high budget teams that we're racing against.
Well, I know that it's probably been an awesome experience, but if you had to take a look at your abilities and you're racing right now, what would you say would be the one area you probably have to do some improvement in to really make that next step into the Busch East and really make it work for you? What area of your racing? Is it the long races, the pit stops, the what? What's the worst part you got to work on?
The driver feedback. I don't have a lot of experience in a big car with running long races. So that's where I really struggle the most is during practice, giving a lot of feedback back to Buggy. I don't have a lot of experience, and I'm not used to giving that much feedback, but I do the best I can.
So those things when you talk about, you know, it's pushing or plowing, or it's loose or tight, those kind of things are what you're talking about, or is it something more complex?
Well, I can tell them that the car is loose or the car is pushing, but I have a problem sometimes with telling them where it's pushing. You need to be able to break it down three ways through the corner, getting into the corner, through the center, and coming out.
Right.
And sometimes I just have a problem deciding where it's pushing at or where it's loose at, or is it loose on the brakes? Is it loose on the throttle? Sometimes I just I have problems with that. But Buggy's helped me out a lot because he used to race, and he raced the Hooters. So he's taught me a lot this year. And, I mean, from where we started to where we are now is, if you had been with us, it would be unbelievable. But if I didn't have Buggy as my crew chief, him being used to being a racer, helping me out with my driving and with my line, then I don't think we would have been able to do as good as we have.
Now, I've had a few people pass through his cockpits tell me he's pretty tough. He keeps on you and tries to make you better.
Oh, yeah, man. When I first started, I work at the shop with him every day. So, he's very hard on me, man. He pushes me to do better at everything I do, which, I mean, it's not a bad thing at all. And actually, I've learned a tremendous amount about everything because I've been over there helping him out. And now he's working on some late models, some ASA late models for a guy, and let me help him out on that. And so, I mean, I'm just soaking all in all the educational things I can.
Is it a secret who he's working with on that?
I don't think so, but
I don't think so either. I can't think of the guy's last name. I think it's Stewart, but I can't. Last name kind of goes.
I got you.
I know that Buggy's got a lot of experience in the garage, too, because, I mean, his father owned a race shop and so forth, and he's worked on probably 9 or 10 different types of cars in one day, including his own at some point. But I just know that, you know, getting him to – once you get that communication going, you'll see. You'll see how much you pick up in time, how much you can pick up in speed, and how easier it is to drive the car through the corners, because it just takes little nth of a degree of change at times to make big changes. And he understands shocks and stuff. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it is very amazing.
Somebody trying to call us, Jack.
Sure enough.
Beep,
so you might have already covered this, but what did exactly did you do before you got into the Pro Cup ranks?
I ran I started off in the go-kart. I mean, dirt go-karts were pretty much, I think, everybody should start. Then I moved up to the legend cars, legend cars on asphalt. And then last year, I ran the late model super truck at Hickory Motor Speedway, and I won 4 out of 10 races and set 6 poles and won the championship. And we said, hey, let's we got this opportunity to go work with Buggy. Let's give it a shot in the Hooters Pro Cup this year.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow, that's pretty good. And
Bill, the legend guys.
Yeah, I know. And I was going to ask, though, having reached your 18th birthday, do you kind of, in the back of your mind, think, hey, time's running out. I got to get my foot in the door somewhere, or else I'm going to be suddenly 26, 27, and nobody's going to look at me no more.
Yeah, you do kind of feel that way. But right now, with the position I'm in, I'm not necessarily worried about time running out. I'm actually worried about the money running out.
Ain't they all? Ain't everybody? Yeah. I mean,
the old money running out.
Yeah, the old money grind. Well, I understand that. And as long as you keep winning races and having good finishes and doing well, you'll find that the money starts to trickle in, and it may not be a boatload, but you can get a dinghy or two sent your way every once in a while.
And it would help out tremendously.
And Ben, the other thing is get on every show like this you can find, do any interviews you can, and the more you're in the public eye, the better chance you have. It's sometimes that helps as much as winning, not as much probably, but it certainly helps.
Yep.
Yeah, I tell you what, being 18 and you're fairly well spoken, you understand you know what your role is outside the car too, and that helps. when it comes to talking about your sponsors and driving people towards your race team and making sure that, you know, everybody's taken care of in this deal.
Go ahead, Bill.
I was going to say, give me something for the future. What kind of timeline do you feel you need to kind of keep on to be able to keep moving right along and heading towards that opportunity at a cup ride or something? Do you need to do a year or 2 years in the Busch East and then hopefully get maybe three or four rides in a truck and then Craftsman Truck Series or something to show yourself? Or what kind of timeline has anybody kind of told you you might be wanting to stick to?
Actually, I have no idea about that, but I think it would be better for me if I ran, say, 1 year in the Busch East or even the Busch West. I mean, just in a bigger car that races on bigger tracks to get the feel for, like, say, maybe a truck or Busch or ARCA or something like that, and then maybe try to bleed in and run a couple truck races or run a couple ARCA races or maybe even run a Busch race or so. I mean, I'm not going to be able to – I don't feel like I could be ready to step up and sign for a year-long Busch series. I mean, I feel like I may be capable, but I just don't want to step up to the plate and not be ready.
Well, trust me, there's enough people out there with enough know-how that they're not going to offer you that until they feel you're ready too. Yeah, so you just do the best you can, and it'll get to you whenever they feel it's you are ready for it. You don't have to go looking for it. Trust me.
What's next up, Ben?
What's next up?
Yeah. What's your next deal?
Race? Yeah.
Next race.
This weekend I'm actually racing the Hooters Pro Club Division in Mansfield for the Championship Series.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yep.
We were wondering if you were going to do that.
It's already Championship Series.
Oh yeah, this will be the first race of the Championship Series.
Forgetting. We're down the
Where are you starting off in the points deal?
Actually, I'm not sure where I'm starting off, but I finished in sixth in the North Division, so I mean, we should be starting probably definitely top 10 in points probably.
Yeah, because you get points just before you even start that deal. You got some points wherever depending on where you did. So
yeah, you'll be tied for 10th.
Yeah, that's cool.
The fifth and north and south start with the same points.
Yeah, now you get to tackle the big tracks and all the big guns.
That's right.
That's a pretty good challenge, though.
Hey, but the trick there is, you know, you win one of those races, even just one of them, even if you don't win the whole series, so to speak.
You get the top three.
And you've done a lot. You've done a bunch, and you've spoken volumes for your ability, your team's ability, and so forth. So you just work hard at it.
Yeah, you got some pretty good ones, man. You got Bobby Gill, and you got Gary St. Amand, we mentioned, Benny Gordon. You got Michael Rich.
You got a couple of guys.
The naturally fresh driver, Michael Rich. I mean, you got some pretty good talent, man. No doubt. It's Clay Rogers. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Ben, who's your best friend on the Hooters Pro Cup Tour that's a fellow racer?
I honestly couldn't answer that. I mean, I'm friends with a bunch of the guys, but when you get on the track, you kind of leave all that.
Well, now, I understand that part, but, okay, who's your
acquaintances? He's trying not to get into trouble
Who do you talk to around the track and go, hey, how you doing, how's your car running, that kind of stuff?
I would say probably the most friendliest guy at the track that I seek advice or look up to as a veteran driver would probably be Gary St. Amand. I talk to him a lot.
There you go. That's a good one, man.
Yeah, we've noticed Gary starting to give back to the younger kids
than he gives the Gary is, as a matter of fact, he's going to be on our show tomorrow night, the Wednesday night show we do at 9 o'clock. He's going to be on Real Racing USA, and we look forward to that. Gary's definitely a really, really good guy, and he's somebody to look up to, no doubt.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know. Do you know the history of your crew chief and where he's from and his dad and so forth?
Yeah, he said his dad owned the Dave Fletcher Racing down in Florida, and said he worked there and started out racing mini stocks and worked his way up to he actually won a Hooters Pro Cup race
years
ago, and I guess the guy he was driving for, their funds ran out. So
yeah, that's the history of race drivers in Florida. Yeah, but they're going for the big time. The funds dry up. And
yeah, David's dad's is teeters on the legendary category.
Yeah, he rates up there. When you start talking about the great late model drivers in Florida over the years, his name usually pops up with the Jimmy Copes and the Wayne Andersons and so forth. I mean, he's just been doing it a long time, but he's got a wealth of knowledge, and it doesn't take much because I've seen him put his foot on a bumper of a car, push it up and down, and you know, start talking about it's got a little bump problem and you need another shock and so forth. It's just he's just that good. He's been doing it so dang long. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool guy to be around and talk to, though. I mean, and don't be afraid to invite him in sometime if he comes to the track, because you'll get a wealth of information from the man.
Ben, tell Buggy we all said hi down here from Real Racing USA in Florida, and, you know, we miss seeing him around, man.
I will, man. I absolutely will.
Yeah, cool. Give him a call. We were trying to get in touch with him, but I guess we couldn't get through to him. We were going to talk to him a little bit about how you were doing and so forth, too, so...
All right, man. Good deal.
Take care of yourself, buddy. We'll see you definitely when you come to USA International
Speedway. Go get them at Mansfield, man.
All right. Thanks, you guys. I appreciate it.
All right.
Ben Stansel, folks, he's going over to the Worthington Motorsports. They're going to be running the Busch East Series, but he's going to finish out the Hooters Pro Cup Series this year and see what he can do as they go into that five-race championship series, and he'll start 10th, tied for 10th in points. With the guy,
how do you know that?
Because they do that first, second, third.
Oh, is that how they do it?
Number of wins, I think, is the only thing that separates you at the very top. Or
yeah, I didn't look it up. I know you get points to get. I didn't know what he started with. But,
yeah, he's fifth in points now, so he's going to start 10th if it's worst. If the guy
should be cool. But we'll find out a whole lot more about that tomorrow night again on the Pro Cup report that starts tomorrow night right after the O'Reilly ASA Fast
Lane. Oh, I have to quit stealing the Pro Cup Thunder.
Okay. Oh no, Bill. These are perfect segues, man. Okay. I mean, you're just setting them up and I'm kicking them over.
Hey, we talked to the AMP. We talked to Ben Stansel. Let's see what you got up after this break. We'll be right back, folks. Don't go far. It is Real Racing USA on a Tuesday night.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Hello, I'm Frank Bartles, and this here's my partner, James Brown. As the weather starts getting too hot, we hope you will reach for one of these. New Ben James Brown Wine Cooler.
It tastes good.
They come in three funky flavors. Gravity Grape.
Get down.
Crime of Passion Fruit.
Oh, Timothy.
And my personal favorite, Papaya.
Papaya's got a brand new bag.
It'll get you off faster than a big city lawyer.
Woo!
And a single pack serves 6 to 10, just like James.
New Bartles and James Brown Wine Coolers. The cooler cooler, made in the cooler.
Now behind bars everywhere.
And thank you for your support.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the brakeman. The brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call The Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes. Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Never in the history of cinema have so many done so little for so many.
You're a star.
Anybody can pay $8 to see a movie, but only a true artist can be paid $8 to be in a movie.
Shiny, shiny star.
Snotty lead actors need lines, direction, motivation, not you. You sit on your butt perfectly in scene after scene.
That's Hollywood.
A true pro, you're always focused, even if you're seldom in focus. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Nobody, because you're not just anybody, you're a paid anybody.
I don't recognize
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Thank you.
Hi, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. That was short pause for the cause, because we have got an interesting segment coming up for you, and this is something that's a little off the realm of the normal interviews with drivers and promoters and track owners and so forth.
He hasn't won 12 Winston Cup titles.
He hasn't been racing go-karts since he was five. He hasn't.
Thank you.
And
welcome to Real Racing USA, Mr. Steve Johnson with GarageArt.com.
Hey, thanks, guys, for having me on tonight. I appreciate it.
Now, where did this concept start? Is this something you kind of collected stuff or something and then decided, hey, I could probably sell this and make more money?
Well, it's interesting. I've been a racing fan all my life. Grew up around it and always thought that a garage needed a little personality. So I started this thing by going to the races and collecting posters and banners, clipping them down off the fences and hanging in my garage. And a couple years ago, we started this company. We decided that there was a lot of people like myself out there that enjoyed taking and giving a garage a personality. So that's in essence how we started.
Well, I've been enjoying your neon page, man. I love the neon stuff that lights up in a window.
Yeah, the neon is a great way to kind of showcase a garage. You start with a neon and start building around it, and some of it's fun, some of it kind of says who you are and what you enjoy. And there's lots of color to it, and it really makes a garage, in my opinion.
Well, I had an uncle that had a garage service station stuff together years and years and years ago, back in the 60s. And the last thing, every time he closed his garage up, the last switch he flipped was for the neon sign inside the garage that said Junior's Garage. And that would be the last sign he'd turn off. And sometimes he would leave it on overnight just to advertise, because people would look in the garages that went by.
That's funny you said that, Steve, because when I mentioned to you earlier that we sort of did a project on our garage, and the first thing I did was I went and got a buddy of mine who had some a bunch of old neon bar signs, different kinds, and that's exactly where we started.
Yeah, yeah, it's fun, because everybody's got a favorite beer or they got a favorite neon out there, and as the cost of the originals has just gone out of the hemisphere and they get tough to come by, you know, the reproduction stuff that's out there today, it's real affordable, and it really makes for a unique garage.
Yeah, I was seeing you've got some now, like the Super Service Chevy sign, the neon sign. That one's real expensive, like $2,500. But then you got right by it the Authorized Buick Service Dealer sign, and it's only $300. So why is the disparity in price? Is that because one's an original old antique style, or is there a difference there that I don't recognize?
Well, the difference is that the large one, the $2,500 one, is an exact recreation of the original Chevrolet signs. It's made in the U.S., handmade, a lot of neon. It's got the original steel canister behind it. And then if you go to the other end, the Buick, Pontiac, and Chevrolet neons, and some of the others we handle, those are a lot more affordable, and they're close to the original signs, but they hit the price point that somebody can afford to hang one in the garage.
Sure.
Oh, cool. So you actually get a hold of an old metal Buick Authorized Service sign and have it redone with new neon.
Exactly.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, awesome. So you get the original antique style item, but yet it's new. Well, and there's so many different headings. I mean,
Under What's Hot, 20. Bill, check this out. Under What's Hot, the Mr. Horsepower deal.
Yeah.
Now that's only $21, but man, it looks cool. I mean, we build the best and fix the rest.
And that goes on a sign in any garage, man.
Yeah, that's cool.
But you go from every end of the spectrum. You got drag stuff. You got motorcycles. You got just even an aviation signs and stuff that I saw that I flew helicopters in the Air Force and thought this was pretty cool.
Well, we kind of specialize and started this thing. We specialize in drag racing because there's a lot of big fan base out there, and the stuff is pretty hard to come by. And so that's kind of how we started, and we've got some of the recreations of the original drag strips out on the West Coast and some reproduction stuff that, you know, that really kind of, I guess it takes people back to the day. when drag racing was all about front engine dragsters and creating lots of smoke.
Is that your favorite type of motorsports?
It is. I like all forms of racing, but drag racing is my passion. I just think, especially the nostalgia stuff.
Well, let's remind everybody out there listening to us, if you want to go to www.garageart.com and just look at that front page, you'll see all the different headings that you can check out, all the cool stuff they've got for garage art, and it's really
online
cool.
Online catalog and the whole works. Yeah.
Now, are there any of these items, anything that we would look at that would be actually homemade, so to speak? You guys are making it yourselves, or is it all manufactured elsewhere and kind of comes back to you as the broker?
It's all manufactured elsewhere. Most of our signs are made in San Diego and back in the Midwest, and we go to a number of graphic designers we work with that are creating signs all the time. The new motorcycle signs that came out a couple weeks ago, I think the graphics on those are just awesome, but they're created, they're made, we take delivery on them, and then we ship them out all through the United States and into Canada.
You've even got a whole line of really cool thermometers. I love this mechanic on duty with the flame thing, but there's just some really neat stuff.
Clocks
can dress up any kind of garage, even your family garage at home.
Oh yeah, the wall clocks are this is Christmas and birthday stuff.
Oh yeah, no, this is going to kill off a bunch of Christmases for a bunch of guys. Are going to go, I'm getting some new neon or something.
Where do you go? Where do you go to watch drag racing these days?
Well, I try to go down to Pomona every year, and we're based out of Seattle, so participate and watch a lot of the events up here, and that's where I spend most of my time.
You know, here later on in this show, at the last half hour of the show, as a matter of fact, in about 15 minutes, we start our all-Harley drag racing portion of the show. We do two or three interviews every show with the all-Harley drag guys. And the guys tonight are from the race out in Oregon this past week.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah, they raced out there, a big all-Harley drag race. These guys are really nuts, man. Steve, these guys go like 200 and some miles an hour on like one wheel, you know?
So you got somebody at the Salt Flats right now.
Awesome.
Yeah, next week, that's right.
That's next week.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking, we got this little bitty get-together of auto racers called PRI that comes down to Florida in Orlando this next year. I think you should get yourself a booth in there and bring this stuff down.
It's pretty cool.
I think you would sell tons of it.
I'd love to.
Yeah, have you ever heard of are you familiar with the PRI show?
I'm not.
It's the largest motorsports industry trade show on the planet, and it used to be in Indianapolis for many years, and it outgrew Indianapolis, so they moved it to Orlando, Florida the last few years, and it's there for another few years. It's every December, and it's a 3-day. It's so big, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, you have to take 3 days to see it all.
It's indescribable.
It's Performance Racing Industry, PRI, and they do this national show. It's like a...
check it out, PRI.com or something.
Yeah, PRI.com. What do they call it? A convention. It's like a big convention of every cam maker and piston maker and everything. And it's just amazing.
They bring in the full shops.
Oh yeah,
mini shops and set them up.
32,000 people per day.
Yeah,
come see it when they were down here last year. So I just think this would be just the right up your alley, buddy.
Yeah, well, we'll look into that and see if we can't make it down there.
Oh man, that'd be awesome. And if you do, we're going to come see you.
Great.
Hey, listen. Now you guys are gotten so damn big. You got your own apparel. Come on. This is awesome. Hey, what's some of the newest items? Is it what's hot? Is that what you're showing as the newest item? Or you just said there was a motorcycle sign or something you just got?
Well, our new motorcycle series, they said those were just produced about 2.5 weeks ago. And there's just the graphics on those signs are just absolutely awesome. And there's some fun stuff in there if you're a motorcycle fan. And we're real excited about those. The color and the graphics on those signs are just, I think, second to none. So that's our newest stuff. The Lions drag strip section, we're hooked up with one of the original track photographers of the infamous Lions drag strip out on the West Coast, and we're handling all the original photos. That's real new for us. and doing very well.
You got prints, wow, everything from Impalas to Buicks to GTOs to Wileys to Plymouths. I mean, Mopar.
I was going to tell him this past Saturday night, I got to be the announcer for the Motorcycle Mania, flat track racing at East Bay Raceway Park on the dirt. And I see he's got a flat track motorcycle races sign there. That's pretty cool.
Well, what else is up with Garage Art? Steve, what else do we need to know?
What's new? What's coming up in the future?
Well, we're working on, kind of our specialty is drag racing. We've got about a half a dozen signs in the works that we hope to have out before the holidays of some of the famous drag strips, both on the East Coast and the West Coast, both in the small size and then also in the large 25.5-inch size. So we're real excited about that. We've got some interesting racing oil cans in the works right now that have not gone into production. Again, we hope to have those out before the holidays. So lots of unique items in the pipeline.
And I would be, just wouldn't be me if I didn't draw people's attention to the signs of the pinup girls. I mean, those, every garage needs one of those, don't it?
Those are some of our best sellers in there.
Is it? What is your top seller? What's the one sign you've sold so many of you just can't believe it?
Well, the Hot Rod Garage Neon is that's our number one selling neon. It's affordable and it makes for a showpiece for a garage. The Mr. Horsepower signs, because that's a hot rod icon. Those sell extremely well. And then the pinup girls. As you said, every garage needs one or two of those.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even your wife will let you have a metal pinup girl sign. Jeez.
Oh, well, this is cool, man.
You got clothes on. Hey, really cool. I can't believe it, man. It's pretty awesome that you can turn an entire industry into garage art, but that's pretty cool. There's nothing wrong with that at all. I look forward to seeing some of your new products, man, and we really do hope you can, check it out and can get the opportunity to come to PRI. I think it would be an awesome, awesome situation, and that's spoken from a guy who does quite a bit of motorsports marketing. So I know you can definitely get some benefit from getting into that if you can. I know it's expensive. It's a long way to travel, that kind of stuff. Where are you based out of? Where do you ship from and that kind of thing?
We ship out of Seattle.
Out of Seattle? Wow. That's way up there.
Way up on the West Coast.
I got kinfolk working the Seattle hub for UPS.
Okay. Yeah.
So I guess they're packing some of your boxes.
All right. So again, garageart.com. That's pretty cool.
We'll have to put a link on that maybe on the...
Well, there's actually ads flying around all over Carnac.com and Real Racing USA.
I think that's something that a lot of folks would like to get into and see, and it's kind of a sidelight, I guess, or whatever you want to call it. It's not about actual racing, but this is pretty cool. We have a lot of TV shows that do garage this, garage that, and so it's pretty cool that we can connect those kind of things for you, too. That'd be kind of neat. Hey, man, we got to thank you so much for taking time to visit with us, and we hope that you get a few more people kind of taking a peek at the site and kind of watch your spike in the next day and a half as people listen to this over and over again. But we hope we help you out, and we sure do love to see some of this stuff. We hope to have you back sometime.
Super. Appreciate you having me on, guys.
All right, there you go.
Steve Johnson, the man behind the plan with the garageart.com. Ain't it, only in America can you turn garage art into an industry. It's just amazing.
It's fascinating. I guess this thing works better when you hold it up close. But,
I should have asked him, and next time, remind me to ask him if he's had overseas orders. I'm sure they have.
Oh,
there's
sure.
There's got to be. Man, this is awesome.
Let's see if we can hook up with Stevie LaTemp from the All Harley Drag Racing Series.
Okay.
And I'm going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
Well, that's a good idea.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Never in the history of cinema have so many done so little for so many.
Just
anybody can pay $8 to see a movie, but only a true artist can be paid $8 to be in a movie.
Shiny, shiny star.
Snotty lead actors need lines, direction, motivation, not you. You sit on your butt perfectly in scene after scene.
Well, that's Hollywood.
A true pro, you're always focused, even if you're seldom in focus. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Nobody, because you're not just anybody, you're a paid anybody. I don't recognize Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today at 5starbodies.com.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
All right, Bill. I think we're about ready to come back and talk some more racing. I think we're about there.
Boy, this echo on these
earphones tonight is just
sound like Lou Rawls or somebody.
Spectacular.
Port City Racing. It's about winning.
Yeah, Port City Racing. That's gone for the moment. Well, since we have a few extra moments here, we got a hold of Stevie LaTemp, the voice of the All Harley Drag Racing Association.
Well, it sounds to me like there's some competition out there. Somebody that works for you thinks they can sing. Help that man. Help.
I know. It sounds great in my ear, though, because you just don't know the reverb that's been put into this thing right now in my head. God, it sounds like I'm.
And they allow this guy to write for the Tampa Tribune. Can you
believe
it?
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, there it is. Somebody's.
That's it.
So here in a few minutes, Stevie, we're going to talk to two stars of the All Harley Drag Racing Association, Don Norland and Randy Borjo. But first of all, tell us what's new and exciting in the world of Harley Drags, man.
Well, we got something kind of neat coming up. The next All Harley Drag Race will be at Farmington Motorsports Park up in Mocksville, North Carolina, probably about 7-8 miles from there. And it's a one-day race for the Ride for the March of Dimes, Racing to Save Babies. And it's a non-points race. It's 8th mile. $10,000 on the line now. It's going to be an absolutely awesome event. It's coming up September 16th. So, guys, if you're anywhere in the Carolina area and you want to see some great, great Harley drag racing, you need to make it a point to come to Farmington Motorsports Park on September 16th. And I say there'll be some super, super bad machines come rolling in there. In fact, you want to find out more about it, just go to the All Harley Drag Racing site, and you'll learn all about the ride they've got going there and all the things. They've got a lot of special guest stars coming in there, and I don't have a list here in front of me about everything, but I do know it is going to be a major event, and it is to help the March of Dimes, which is the main point.
And next week, I got to tell you, Stevie, before I forget, next week I talked today to Valerie Thompson out in New Mexico. And that young lady's going back out there. The GoDaddy-sponsored racer is going to go back out there and try to better the land speed record.
I believe she's shooting for the 200-mile-an-hour barrier.
Yeah, and we're going to talk to her on Tuesday night and from the Salt Flats, so that should be wild. And she may have set a new record by the time we talk to her.
Well, I got my fingers crossed for her because you can't. If you haven't met her, she's probably one of the sweetest gals you ever want to meet. And I'm telling you, she can flat ride. In fact, talking on that very point, she was runner-up in her class all the way out in Woodburn, Oregon, just this last weekend. So she's right on the verge of knocking off some really big hitters. She's climbed up in the points. I want to say about third right now, third or fourth. I'm not positive, but real close to that.
Now, I know that everybody that tunes in to the All Harley Drag half hour at the end of the show here probably knows everything you need to know about All Harley Drags. But I need to know, how many different divisions are there, and how many, is it always only Harley Davidsons, or do other bikes get allowed at all?
Strictly Harley Davidson.
I thought it would be, but I just wanted to
check. Bill, I asked a question last week. Who was the guest we had on, the second guest we had on last week? Do you remember? I asked him, I forget what his name was right now, but I asked him how much his bike, I was looking at a picture of his bike, and he was not a pro class. He was a stock class, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said $60,000+.
Yeah.
$60,000 to $100,000, I believe.
Oh, listen, these are first class rides.
Oh, yeah.
When you do come to watch one of these Harley races, I assure you, you will be entertained to the maximum with raw horsepower. It's awesome.
How many contestants or drivers usually show up at every venue?
It'll vary depending on the track. The West Coast is just a little bit leaner, and they push probably in the neighborhood of 250 to 300 bikes.
Wow.
You come to the East Coast, seems to be heavier Harley country. The 300 to 400 range is very, you know, very probable. It always seems to break three.
Wow, that spins up.
375 Harleys, and these guys fly.
That's a lot of rounds.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. Yeah, believe me, as an announcer, by the end of the day, I'm looking for throat lozenges.
And we have met on this show some of the most interesting characters that you could ever meet in the world of motorsports.
I would imagine Harley racing, because I know Harley riders. I've had one for years and ridden with lots of groups in different places, and they've got some characters in those. So I can imagine that same kind of mentality and characterization transfers.
I mean, we've
to
had guys who've had two or three guys have talked about motors blowing up underneath them. They're right back out there next week.
It's like no big deal.
Bouncing off the walls, their legs dragging down. And it's like no big
you
deal. They're back.
Chicago Joe.
Yeah, that one.
One blow up on me, and I had to dump another one at 200 mile an hour, and it was like, you know, it's just racing.
Bump, sip, skin my knee.
There you go. Amazing.
Too funny.
Talk about colorful guys. You know, we're getting ready to talk to Dan Norlin, a young man out of Aurora, Colorado, here in just a few minutes. I just got an email from one of his competitors. In fact, we had him on the show a while back. You remember Stan Shepard?
Yes.
And, well, Stan got on here and sent me an email, and he said he wanted Dan Norlin to know that he lost to him by 0.02 of a second at this last race, and that wasn't going to happen again. And he just wanted you to know that Stan Shepard, a.k.a. the Cowboy, has got crosshairs on the back of him right now, aimed at him for the next race. And Norlin is going down. I love it.
Well, it sounds like we ought to just hook up with
match race
with Mr. Norlin right now and straighten this out.
Oh, I got some more stuff to give you on this one, believe me.
All right. So, Bill, can you want me to go to break, or do you just want to...
Well, let me hang in here and talk to him a minute, because I've done a lot of announcing circle track racing, but give me what are the ambiances and...
The only thing is, he's going to go away for a minute, just so you know.
Oh, you got to shut him off?
Yeah, just for a minute.
Well, give me one more last question.
Okay, go ahead.
What is it like, and how did you get into announcing motorcycle racing?
Just by luck, just sheer luck. Apparently, there was an announcer who couldn't make a particular race, and I got a phone call from a friend that said, would you be interested in doing some announcing for the Harleys? And I thought, gee, absolutely. If it's got wheels, it rolls and races, I'll talk about it all night long. And so I had an opportunity, and I took it, and I've fallen in love with these guys. I have yet to meet the first guy that I didn't like. They accept me. It seems I came from the world of four wheels. There's one thing you never say. You never say cars at a Harley meet. And I did that in the tower on the very first day, and they didn't take me out and hang me, although they were waiting for me when I came out of the tower. And I get teased about it constantly. Because, you know, after you talk about cars, you know, 45, 50 times a year for so many years, it's almost an instant to say that. But I was taught real quick that you say bikes. You don't have drivers. You only have riders.
Yeah.
But great, great bunch of guys. I truly love doing this. It's a blast.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll get you back sometime. We can talk more about that side of it, because I know Jack wants to get his itchy little fingers on the phone and make a few phone calls.
Yeah, hang on there. Stevie.
I'm hanging tight.
Yeah, hang on. We'll be right back with you and Mr. Norland together.
Now, I take it that the All Harley drag site would be under All Harley something. So let me see where I can find it. AllHarley.com. Maybe it's that simple. Yeah, I know Dave Pletcher and Carol are listening, and don't ask me what happened with Buggy. I thought he was going to be here, but apparently the driver left the shop, and so we didn't get a chance to talk to Buggy, and we didn't have his phone number handy. So if you want to call him and have him call me, Dave, you know my number, go ahead. Meanwhile, allharleydrags.com. I guess that's what that is. Okay. And drag racing, starting to really pick up again. I mean, it kind of had this lull, it seemed, and maybe it was just me. I'm sure drag racers thought it was going full blast all the time. It just seemed like it kind of died off there for a little while, and then it's starting to make a resurgence lately. And I guess a lot of that has to do with the TV coverage of the Sunday night national events that they do and get an opportunity to see racing. But most of the time, I mean, it's been, I don't know, one of the nicer little ways to go is to get to see some of this All Harley drag stuff and kind of check things out. Let's see here. We got all kinds. Oh, he's still bushing the phone over there, folks. We're trying to get these drivers to talk to us. Excuse me, riders to talk to us about the All Harley Drag Hour. But the big trick was I was going to try to track down the All Harley Drag website. Here we go. I bet you I'm getting somewhere now. As we got Gas Nitro brings record-breaking season to Million Dragway this weekend in Norwalk, Ohio. So I'm definitely getting in on the right area. Okay, going back to there. Oh, hey, there's all kinds of information here. Go to Karnak.com, and there's all kinds of neat stuff right up on the front there about All Harley Drags and the latest stories. You click on the story, it brings you up all the latest stories that have been out there about things happening in All Harley drag racing. Drag racers are kind of a neat bunch because, I mean, you get to sit around and socialize an awful lot at a drag race, and then you go do your 6 or 5 or 4 seconds or whatever you're doing, and you come back and you socialize some more and work on the bike or spend some time with your friends and just oil the chain down or the belt or whatever they use nowadays. I wonder if anybody's running direct drive. Anyway, there's a lot more time for some different things happening outside of just race at the All Harley Drags, I'm sure. And they have so many different events around the country. I'm sure that just getting a chance to see their schedule is kind of like a cool part of the whole deal.
You know what? It's time to go drag racing! 200 plus miles per hour!
Okay, Bill, we got these two gentlemen hooked up. Stevie, you there now? You with Dan Norland?
Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Good, how you guys doing?
Oh, I'm doing really good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you just a little background on Dan Norland. Here's a guy that he was disappointed because he only won 2 out of the 3 classes that he was competing in this past weekend. He was the winner in the Screamin' Eagle Performance 1150 Index class, and he was also the winner in the Drag Masters Hot Street class, and he was disappointed because he fell short in the Sin 3 EP class. So talk about a tough competitor and a handful, I'm telling you.
Now, does that actually take three different bikes, or can you do something to one bike and make it run 2 different classes?
You can run one bike in multiple classes. I opt to run my V-Rod in the SEP and ET class, and then I've built, of course, my hot street bike strictly for hot street, of course, because it's a heads-up class, no wheelie bars, no air shifter type class with a weight limit.
Okay. Well, no, I didn't mean to interrupt your guys' conversation. No. I just wanted to find out if you could do that.
No, that is one of the neat things that a bike is capable of running two classes, especially when they have this ET class. I think that's so cool because that gives you twice the chance, you know, of getting, you know, a championship on the same bike. So it's actually cutting costs down big time.
Yeah, and I'm such a new guy at this drag racing bike style stuff that, I mean, do they pay like the top 20 or 15, or how do you get make some money at this if you're doing well?
Well, they're going to pay your winner, your runner up, and I'm not sure just exactly how many, you know, laps they go down or how many rounds they go down. They pay round money as well. So if you can go out there and even just make runner up in both classes, you can put some nice cash in your pocket. And Dan was, I'm sure you put some nice checks. In fact, you put three checks in your pocket this previous weekend.
Actually, I did pretty well, not only this weekend, but also just not too long ago.
I believe Dragmaster Hot Street, did you not win that one, wasn't it?
In Sturgis, I won it. Also, here up in Oregon, I took Dragmasters and, of course, the 1150 Index class, the SEP class. But in Sturgis, I was in five different classes. I ran in the Hot Street class. I ran in the SEP class. I ran in the ET class, the V-Rod class, and the SS class, which is the 1030 Index class. And I ended up going to three finals out of the five and ended up winning two of them and runner-upping in the other one. So I did take home a nice chunk of change there.
Absolutely. And, you know, to a Harley guy, Sturgis has a special mystique to it. It is a very – it's not a points race, but it's a very, very special race to say, I won Sturgis. There's bragging rights there forever.
Got it.
Well – you know, talking about bragging rights, I don't know if you were listening or not before we came on the air, but there's a guy out there in California by the name of Cowboy Stan Shepherd, and he sent me an email, and he told me to tell you that you got an X on your back in two classes. He said the only reason he lost in SCPTU on that Sunday race because there was a headwind in his lane. Somebody lowered the tire pressure on his front tire, and he says, that won't happen again. And he just wants you to know, he says, let him know there is a definite target on your back. He wants you bad, buddy, bad. So what do you think?
Stan's a great guy. We heckle each other every time we get to the track, especially out west. I know Stan hasn't made it too much to any of the East Coast races, so him and I are definitely butting heads for that West Coast championship, and he was ahead of me there going into Woodburn by, I think, about 30-something points, and we were heckling each other at the beginning of the day on Sunday, and I told him it was my day, and I was going to get one on him because I believe Stan got me last time, so I definitely wanted to stick it to him this weekend and do the best I could to try and take that back from him, at least for right now. I know we still have a couple races left out west now. We have Pomona, Las Vegas towards the end of the season. I think it's going to come down to probably Vegas again to fight for that West Coast championship. So,
well, you know, guys, I do want to tell you how close these guys are as far as competitors. Dan beat Stan by 0.02 of a second. That's like laying a toothpick down between the tires on the finish line. I mean, it is tight. You literally can't measure that distance as fast as these bikes are running. So 0.02 of a second, it takes four times that much time just to blink your eye. So that'll give you an idea how tight these bikes were when they went through the traps. They had to be looking at each other eyeball to eyeball when they went through.
Yeah, Stan was pretty upset when we crossed the finish line. It took a little bit for the wind light to come on, and I saw my leg come on, and I was pretty relieved. I was like, yes, I finally got him. And he just shook his head at me as he went, as we pulled down to pull off the track, and I just had to smile. I'm like, all right, I finally got one. It's my turn this time. So I'm sure Stan will be ready to go next time, and it'll be a good fight all the way to the end. Again, like I say, we'll probably be battling out all the way up to the last run down the track in Vegas. So
I got to know one thing. I've been drag racing for 45 years, but it's the first time in my life I heard of a headwind in only one lane. Now, is that an excuse or what?
I think Stan's reaching there on something, boy. Headwind, I don't know. Let's put it this way. When I was in Woodburn and we were running, just a shout-out to all the Hot Street guys out there, it was definitely close to record-breaking weather the the density altitude was really, really low. The temperature was in the mid-70s, and there was actually a tailwind of about 8 to 9 miles an hour down the track. And
so there was a tailwind instead of a headwind. It must have been a swirl at the finish line.
I think if Stan checks his time slip a little bit better, I think it has to come all down to the light. I think I got Stan there a little bit at the light, and that's where I got my little edge at the end there.
So, in other words, what you're saying is that Stan can't cut a light? Was that what I understood?
Oh, no, I'm not saying he can't cut a light. I'm saying I think he's stuck right in underneath him there on the tree a little bit. So he might have been snoozing just a hair at the tree. So,
well, the Cowboy's got his six-shooter strapped on for the next race, apparently, and he is definitely gunning for you. I loved it. When I got this email tonight, I thought, oh, my, you really got to him big time.
That's good. Stan's a great guy.
Well, listen, just to get away from the racing just a little bit, tell me a little bit more about your background and how you got involved in this sport.
Well, it was probably, I want to say about 8 years ago or so, I went out and bought my first Buell, actually, from Sun Harley Davidson, which is one of my sponsors. And when I bought that Buell, the service manager had asked me, hey, you know, there's a makeup race out at Bandamere that had been rained out. You should come on out and run down the track. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, yeah, bring your bike out. We'll take a run down the track. You'll be able to run down the track. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, come on out. So I decided to go out there one Saturday afternoon and got my bike down the track a couple of different times. And I thought, man, that's really, really fun. Well, back in the day, 8 years ago or so, the Harley Drag Race Association would come through Denver and race out at Bandamere. So I thought, Jesus, you know, can anybody race? And I found out you could get involved in the ET class out there with any kind of bike. So I decided to take my Buell out there and give it a shot down the track. Well, you know how that goes. One time down the track, and it's hook, line, and sinker from there. So I've been doing it ever since. And I started out just doing a couple races that were local here. And then it turned into doing the Vandermeer AHDRA race and then going to Las Vegas at the end of the year and playing a little bit in the shootout. And from there, I decided, a couple years later, to maybe try and do the West Coast races and see how well I could do. And that escalated into, hey, man, I'm going to give it a shot at a national championship to see if I can win one of these things.
Well, apparently, you do have a shot at it. You're scrapping in there right now with all the hitters. It's just like with in the Screaming Eagle Performance 1150 Index class. There's Donnie Huffman, a two-time champion. You're right alongside of him in points, Greg Best. I mean, these guys, you know, they are the top of the elite right there, and you're right there with them. And same way when you go into that hot street class, Bruce Kronenberger, Charlie Douglas, these guys are awesome, and you're right there. And we go into a Thin 3ET. Bill Rowe Jr., which we've had on the show already, Bob Drapp, and, of course, Donnie Huffman again. Donnie, we've had on the show. He's another one of these guys who races multiple classes, and he just thrives on competition. And like I say, you're right there in the points with him, so there's three of them you're shooting at.
Yeah.
And you got a shot at it. Of course, you got to worry about the one major factor that could knock you out. And he's got 2 six-shooters strapped on him. He's out in California, and he could ruin everything for you if he's on his game. Of course, that's Stan Shepard.
Yeah, I agree. It's really tough, and I think a lot of people have to realize there's a lot of great racers out there from all over the country, and it's really fun to go compete against those guys. They're your best friends when you're not on the track, and they do anything to help you out and make sure that your bike is going down the track. But the minute you roll up to the line, it's all serious, and you try to do your best and run the best times you can down the track or the fastest you can down the track, because you know those guys right next to you are doing the same thing. That's why we travel all that way across the country to try and run our bikes as fast as we can, and we all do it for the competition. And I don't think it's so much winning money as it is to say, hey, I hold that number one plate, because there's so much good competition out there with all the different racers that are involved.
Well, Dan, I want to thank you so very, very much for coming on the show tonight, and you got to keep us updated on the Cowboy coming after you. I want to know if Stan Shepard, you know, runs into a headwind at the next race.
I would definitely do that. I would definitely do that.
Okay.
Lastly, I'd like to definitely give a shout-out to some of my sponsors, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
I'd like to thank Sun Harley Davidson of Buell for helping me out. They've done a tremendous job, as well as NRHS B-Twin Performance here in Colorado. they've helped me with a lot of my head work and stuff. And I also want to shout out to Bruce at PSI Carbs. This last weekend in Woodburn, he set me up with a couple special needles for my carb, and boy, it really made it rip roar. I was really close to breaking the mile per hour records out there in Woodburn, and I think Virginia coming up now here in about a month or so is going to be the same type of weather with the same altitude, and I think there you're going to see some records maybe fall in the hot street class.
Well, it sounds exciting, and like I say, guy, I look forward to getting to talk about you both. So, guys.
Again, hey, man. Thanks a lot, Dan, for coming on our show, man. It's really cool.
Sure. Thanks, guys. Much appreciated.
All right.
Thanks, Dan.
Great. Have a good night, guys.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Stevie. Pretty cool, man.
Oh, absolutely. It's just a lot of fun with these guys. And I now have Dan Shepard just sent me another email, and he claims that there was a headwind, and it cost him 1 inch, which was the race.
Okay. I'll tell you what. We're going to take a very quick break. We'll be right back with, I think we're talking to Randy Borjo, aren't we?
Absolutely. Now we're going to step the pace up just a little bit as we're getting ready to roll into Pro Modified.
All right. Hang on just a minute, guys. We'll be
Hello,
right back.
I'm Frank Bartles, and this here's my partner, James Brown. As the weather starts getting too hot.
Too hot.
We hope you will reach for one of these. New Van James Brown Wine Cooler.
It tastes good.
They come in three funky flavors. Gravity Grape.
Get down.
Crime of Passion Fruit.
Oh, Kenneth.
And my personal favorite, Papaya.
Papaya's got a brand new bag.
It'll get you off faster than a big city lawyer.
Woo!
And a single pack serves 6 to 10. Just like James.
New Bartles and James Brown Wine Coolers. The cooler cooler, made in the cooler.
Now behind bars everywhere.
And thank you for your support.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the brakeman. The brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com.
Back, Real Racing USA Live on Tuesday night. Stevie LeTemp, who we have with us now, Stevie?
Well, I'll tell you what, I got the man that tore him up this past weekend in Samson Exhaust Pro Modified, Randy Borjo, out of Beaver Creek, Oregon. Randy, how you doing this evening?
Doing good. It's a pleasure to be with you and your fans out there.
Well, I'll tell you what, they're not my fans, they're your fans, because they've tuned in to listen to you.
And yeah, the people on your show, I'm glad I have the opportunity to talk to you and everybody out there.
Well, you've had a great season so far. 3 wins, 4 runner-ups. And, you know, it looked for a while in the Pro Modified division, we had Greg Krennic on the show in a few weeks back. And it just looked like he might have had this thing wrapped up. And all of a sudden, here comes Randy Borjo, full throttle, weekend after weekend after weekend. Relentlessly, never letting up. 4 runner-ups, 3 wins, and now suddenly you find yourself right on his heels, 3 rounds from knocking him out of a championship. And there's still, 3 races left? It can happen. What's your view on that?
Well, I think there's 4 races left.
4?
Which is even better. But I'm going to give him heck and going to try to take the championship. I know he's going for the same thing, but it's always a pleasure racing against Greg. He's a great competitor, and he's always ready when he needs to be ready. He's got a great team there and good help. And I'm trying to do the same thing. I've got a great friend of mine helping me out, Steve Studi. He's a racer also, and we go back after each round and try to diagnose what's going on, and we each put our input in and try to make it faster.
Well, Randy, I've noticed in this last race, suddenly, usually you see Greg Krennic running faster ETs. suddenly you've discovered some horsepower somewhere because you are laying the numbers down now, round after round after round. Can you tell us what the secret you found is to suddenly these super ETs that are popping out of that bike?
Well, we've been chasing, you know, we've been chasing a tune-up around all season. I think we're getting it pretty close right now. We haven't done any major changes. I had to freshen up the lower end a couple races ago. Their lower end was starting to go away on me and ran some metal through the bore, so we freshened up the bore a little bit. So we're getting a little better cylinder fire now, I think. So maybe that's what's doing it.
You know, well, curiosity, I know what it is with a regular car engine, how long they'll last, and as far as performance and just how it's affected. How many runs do you get out of one of your engines on your bike?
Well, to tell you the truth, the last one went about 3 years.
3 years? My God.
Yeah. Well, the last two seasons I only raced West Coast, but I haven't really done anything to it for the last couple of years, and it was about due, so I'm hoping that I'm good for another year or so.
That's incredible. What you're telling me, I know that no racing is really cheap, but it's a pro modified. This thing flies, and you're actually there's someone I consider budget. It's affordable to do. I know the initial purchase is tough, but after that, if what you're telling me, you can get that many runs, that many races and stuff out of a motor, that's absolutely incredible.
Well, I've got help by Dan Baisley, local engine builder and cylinder head guru, we call him over here. He's treats me right. He freshens up my valve jobs and springs when necessary, and I've got a lot of help from Latest Motors, new sponsor this year. They're just excellent sponsor. He's George Latest, and Team Latest is a great sponsor to have. They're really serious about their racing. They enjoy it. I get a lot of support from them for travel, and also Steve Dorn. Get to travel with him to every single race.
I'm very familiar with that name. Yeah.
And it's really helped me out a lot. I would not be able to do it without Latest Motors, Team Latest, and Steve Dorn. I couldn't. There's no way I could make all the races. The time and the cost involved. The travel is the biggest expense I've got.
Man. You know, that's one of the problems that we're going to have more and more coming down the road.
Yeah, we were just talking about that last night, Stevie.
Yeah, I talked with Greg Krennic about it, and they used 1,200 gallons of fuel to go out and back from this last race at an average of about $3 a gallon. That's $3,600 just for fuel.
Yeah, so the logistics of going back and forth across the country just gets really expensive. And you know how fuel is these days. And then, thank goodness, we get to stay at the track in the motorhome, Steve Dorn's hauler. And that just, we're on a budget, just like everybody else. And you gotta try to manage it as best you can. And thank goodness I haven't hurt any parts majorly this year.
Do you see perhaps bigger trailers coming out hooked up behind these motorhomes and more teams doubling and tripling up perhaps to make a haul to go these long distance to run for those points?
I noticed out here at Woodburn this weekend it looked like there was two or three people out of Junior Pippen's trailer, so that I'm sure that worked out good for everybody.
So that probably is the way of the future, because I you share expenses, and just imagine from a $3,600 fuel bill, if there's three of you, you slice that up into a pie, and suddenly you're down to, $1,200. That's an amazing, savings compared to winging it, all by yourself.
Yeah.
I know a lot of the guys have already mentioned about that. They had talked about if there was some way that to even rent an 18-wheeler where they could get like a dozen or so bikes in there and their stuff to take them out. But apparently, I think there's a problem there getting a dozen guys in the same area where the thing just bounce all over.
Exactly. Each team is unique, and trying to make all that work, I couldn't really comment on that, but I know that everybody gets along pretty well. I've met so many great people in the HDRA drag racing, and it's just great that I've been able to meet these people. They're just a great batch of batch of guys, and I wouldn't trade this life experience for anything. The last few years, enjoyed it greatly.
Well, I'll tell you, I talked about this just before we went on the air to do the interviews, and how it's just a big family, and how I was so readily accepted, even though I made some goofs in the beginning, and I probably will always make goofs, but I get reminded about it, but they still accept me, and you become part of that family, and it's really a neat experience. I can truly say the Harley guys are a group set all off by themselves. It is one huge family, and I haven't met the first person yet I didn't like. And I see a lot of teams, just like your competitors, will literally get out there and help you. And they share a lot of things, except the secrets on how to tune them. But if you need to borrow a wrench or you need to borrow a part or a starter or whatever it might be, they seem more than readily willing to just say, here you go. So I think that's really cool.
That's the case. I'm more than willing to help anybody I can, and I appreciate the help. I've gotten help a few times from competitors over the course of the season. Can't imagine how great that makes you feel just to know that everybody's out there.
Well, Randy, where's your next race going to be?
Next race will be at Richmond.
Richmond. And that's where you and Greg Krennic will tangle.
I hope Greg's there.
There's no doubt in my mind he would not miss it for the world. But he knows his championship can go poof just like that.
Well,
he
may be up to something. I saw his bike loaded into Junior Pippen's trailer on Sunday, so I think it's going back to have a little work done to it. I would expect he's going to be prepared as he always is.
Well, one thing I will tell you too, we had Junior Pittman on the show. It's been back a few months ago. This is a guy that has raw horsepower. He's incredible, and if he works on that bike, it's simply he is one of the elite. So you can look for Krennic, I believe, to probably be double tough because he knows you're coming loaded for bear for him, because I've watched your ETs, and they're steadily picking up, and you're pushing right up there. You're getting close to that record, and I foresee the record in Pro Modified very possibly could fall before this season's over one more time. Now, who's it going to be?
Well, I hope to break it again this season. I could sure use the points. It makes things a lot easier. Greg,
well, that's one way to catch up even quicker then.
Well, yeah, I gained an extra a few points last weekend breaking the record. So Greg's done it twice, and it definitely gives you a boost. That's that could come down to the sign of who's gonna win the championship by who got those record points.
Well, it's gonna be exciting, and that's one I get to announce. And believe me, I will kick the chair back, and I will be standing up on my toes looking out that tower, boy, calling that race. It's going to be wild if you two do square off. Of course, that's putting everybody else aside, and that's really not fair because there are some tough competitors in that class now. It's not
there
just
is.
You two, believe me.
There is. There's a lot of tough competitors in that class. You can't count anybody out. At any given time, four or five people can run the number it takes to win that event, and you just have to be prepared, and that's I've heard a saying from a racer a long time ago that luck happens to the people that are prepared, and I've had some good and bad luck this year already, so I'm hoping that I can be prepared to get some more good luck the rest of this year.
Well, I'll tell you what, I just do want to thank you for coming on the show tonight. Truly, Randy, it's been a joy talking to you, and I do wish you all the best. I have to stay neutral because both of you guys are my friends, and I've got to be real careful that I don't step across the line, but I will have a tendency sometimes to kind of lead you in to say something. So, but you handled everything very nicely, and I truly did enjoy you having you on the show this evening. Is there anybody in particular that you'd like to single out, sponsors and stuff, that you'd like to give a little special something to?
Well, I have to say that Team Latest Motors, I could not be doing this program without their support, along with Steve Dorn. Being able to ride along with him and get to the races, and my good buddy Steve Studi, who's helped me tune and keep this bike maintained all season. Without those people, it wouldn't happen. And of course, my family, who supports me in this, that they're probably my you know, my number one fans, I'm sure. But
they are truly the unsung heroes right there.
They.
A wonderful wife makes life easy.
That sure does. that sure does. Makes things a lot easier.
All right, well, listen, Randy, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight. And by golly, I look forward to seeing you at BMP in Virginia.
I'll be there. You too. Thanks very much.
All right, thanks for coming on, guy. Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's some really super, super competitors.
Yeah, and you know that young man, he genuinely, absolutely loves what he's doing and the people around that he's with at these events. That really came through.
Well, you know, I encourage, you know, people to come out and see one of these races, and all they've got to do is go to one. They'll see, you know, incredibly fast times. They'll see motorcycles go the entire quarter mile on one wheel. Your eyes will burn from the wonderful aroma of nitromethane, and your ears are hurt from the incredible noise. And I mean, it's just eyes of water, and you'll love it. You wonder, what in God's name, this? I'm in pain. I can't see. You know, I can't hear. But I'll come back for the next pair. It's just a disease you get hooked on, and you just can't get rid of it once it gets you.
Hey, I gotta ask you one more question before we go, and that is, I take it that you have all ages are racing and so forth, but is there a limit to how young you can be and still race in a Harley drags?
I believe that you have to be a licensed driver. Now, don't hold me to that because I don't have a rule book here in front of me, but I believe you have to be 16 before that you can compete in these classes. You have to be a licensed driver to go down the drag strip.
And as a sub note to that, what about women Harley drag racers? Are there getting to be a lot of those now?
I would say that there are more women racing Harleys right now than ever before. In fact, I read an article on the purchase of new Harley Davidsons that 30% of all new Harleys that are purchased by females.
Yeah,
30%.
Yeah, I've seen a lot more riders.
Oh, yeah, me too.
On their own, so to speak.
Yeah, oh, yeah, own. Oh, yeah.
They no longer want to be able to read the T-shirt that says, if you can read this sign, she fell off. I'm not going to put the word in that's in there.
Yeah, I know.
They don't want to hear that anymore. They want their independence. They want to feel the breeze. They want to feel the air. They want to do the riding and the driving.
Yeah, I pulled up. I can't remember where I was at. I think it was the place down here in St. Petersburg, Florida, or that they do a big Biff Burger on Wednesday night. And the gals were sitting out there, a couple, three or four of them with bikes and stuff, and they were talking, and I happened to ask, you know, hey, what's it like, you know, riding with the guys and stuff? She goes, well, you're not a real female driver of a Harley unless you got a guy on the back. So
there you go. All right, Stevie.
Thanks, buddy. It's great to listen to.
Once again, man, you did really good, and we'll be talking during the week, and pretty soon we're going to take this All Harley Drag Show to its own little time slot on Wednesday night, pretty soon.
That's right, guys, Wednesday night, and it's just a few weeks away as we're getting things set up, and we're looking at expanding the amount of time as well. Hopefully we're going to eventually open this up to a full hour.
No doubt, easily, right? Easily.
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
I do want to remind fans one thing before I go real quick, that if anybody has pictures of their race team, of their bike, of anything like that, We have a special deal set up right now here with Real Racing USA, and I would love to have them send those pictures in. It costs nothing, and, you know, your sponsors would love to see their pictures go all over the world on the Internet.
Absolutely, and, you know, our traffic, because of our connection with some of the other websites that we work with, is pretty significant worldwide audience, and can't do nothing but help expand the word.
Well, guys, I'm going to let you go. Just
one right.
thing before I go. Drag racing, there is absolutely nothing like it.
There it went. And he's gone. Stevie is out of the house now. Well, Bill, once again.
Well, we did another 2 hours, and
how many radio shows between me and you have we ever done? We've done a whole bunch, ain't we?
Well, if you counted all the ones either one of us participated in,
lots of them.
Got to be well over 1,000.
We've interviewed thousands of motorsports personalities, man. It's amazing.
I've done them from 5 years old.
Every time we do it, it's like I just get amazed every time, you know, how much, how many.
And actually, going back to what we talked about when we very first started this show in the Tampa Tribune, that was one of the things that when they called and talked to me, that they liked the idea that I had a history in motorsports, especially right here in the area, knew a lot of people and knew a lot of things going on.
Right.
And since I've been doing it and writing it, and they call me up to editors, call me up and want to talk to me about what I've written, explaining what it really means to them has been interesting because they didn't know.
Right. They didn't get it. Yeah.
And so explaining about the history of somebody and how they started and how their father ran and so forth gives them a little background and they understand. So they've started giving me a little more leeway in that if I put it in there, it probably needs to be there. And so they don't take out as much as they used to.
And we do have an ongoing project. This computer right over here in the Real Racing USA studios is dedicated on, except when we're actually on air live shows, it is dedicated to converting all of those old shows from 1999 through 2002 from Real Racing Talk Radio and your Short Track America show, Short Track USA show. It's dedicated to converting those shows from the Auto Channel archives into our own copies.
Cool.
Yeah, so yeah, that's pretty cool.
My first show, and I remembered my first show because I just did an article on Gene Lasker, and I called him and was talking to him. And my very first radio show alone on the air as my own show was on April 16th of 1999.
There you go.
I did it at the old AM 820 before it turned Spanish. And that was the very last show that was done in English, so to speak. And I had it with Robert Yoho and Gene Lasker. And if that was not the wildest two hours in the history of man.
I can imagine.
As Gene and Robert went at it.
You need a rubber suit to do that interview.
You get them two egos in the room, buddy. You got something going.
I'm telling you.
It was fun, and Lord help me, I know there's not a copy of that one out there somewhere, but that would have been an awesome show to be able to hang on to. But I didn't get hooked up with the Auto Channel until late in August or September, but that was pretty cool. And, hey, look at your Tampa Tribune Thursday morning. You're going to see a young man named Hayden Campbell. And if Campbell brings back a name that you remember, yes, he is part of the Harry Campbell, Steve Campbell clan. He's the son of Brian Campbell, who is the son of Steve Campbell. And the Campbell cars won a lot of races with Jan Opperman and people like Larry Brazil and Wayne Rudiman and the likes behind the wheel. So you'll get to see a little bit more history on Thursday's Tampa Tribune. Thanks so much, Jack, for having me by.
Hey, man, folks, it's always a pleasure to work with you, Bill. Always,
take it
always,
easy.
Man.
We'll see you when we can, and hopefully we'll see you at Charlotte County Motorsports Park on Saturday night. Watch some pro sprint car racing. Thanks so much. Good night, everybody. You can't find the door. You can't.
All right, Real Racing USA will be back in about 3 or 4 minutes. We'll be off the air for 3 or 4 minutes as we change over to our other computer system. And we have some interviews tonight from ASA interviews, the ASA Late Model Series, all kinds of stuff about Florida racing and other motorsports personalities interviewed on Real Racing USA.